the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. Let me remind you, lest you have not heard it before, Let's Face the Issues is a program, broadcast, that's designed around the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. As we speak about issues, and I believe we have the right and the responsibility to do so, as we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. What does the Bible say? What does the Scripture teach us? Ladies and gentlemen, if we talk about what is called today politics, let me remind you that God created the home, God created government, today called politics. God created the home, government, and the church, and in that order. And so anything we speak about in those three categories, which, it, by the way, is the totality of what you find spoken of in the Word of God. You can go all the way through the Scripture, and you find over and over and over again, it talks about kings and kingdoms and places and geographical locations and leadership, etc., etc. And it also, ladies and gentlemen, speaks about civil government and the purpose that God gave us civil government. Civil government, according to the Scripture, Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7 in particular, God gave us civil government as a slave servant of God to persecute or to prosecute, that is, evil, and to protect good. And we see that has been totally reversed in society today. But we need to go back and focus on some of the things that's happening. Listen, we're witnessing and watching what I call an upheaval in the Washington Beltway. Folks are talking about, well, already saying they need to impeach President Trump. They need to impeach Elon Musk, and Elon Musk is not even elected, so how do you impeach him? Elon Musk's life has been threatened over and over again. He said they're online, they're wanting to threaten him, take his life, and, quote, desecrate his body, just because we are finding under the Trump administration a desire to clean the swamp, drain the sewer, and save the taxpayers billions of dollars. Elon Musk, under the DOG, Department of Government Efficiency, we're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding that billions of dollars waste, fraud, and abuse is taking place. And now the focus that I want us to talk about today is the unconstitutional Department of Education. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. Department of Education is not in our Constitution? We're funding a department that was set up by Jimmy Carter, I believe it was in 1973. And when you go back and look, you can look at the a scale and find that after the U.S. Department of Education was established, our academic scores have plummeted in America. Today, U.S. Department of Education, through its teachers' unions, its labor unions, control overwhelming majority of the money, does not trickle down to the classroom, and they're claiming that if there's any cuts in the Department of Education, that it will destroy the educational process for our kids today. And yet, when the Department of Government Efficiency examines the records of the U.S. Department of Education, we're finding billions and billions of dollars of waste, fraud, and abuse. So my question is today about the unconstitutional Department of Education. Is it constitutional? Should we continue to allow it to desecrate, decimate, and destroy the academic process for our kids and our grandkids and future generations? How should we respond to it? What should be done? Looking at the headline, Elon Musk team decimates educational department arm that tracks national school performance. And it goes on to talk about the Trump administration canceled $900 million in contracts just in one fell swoop. And you got those that are screaming and crying that we're going to destroy academics in America. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we deal with issues like this, by the way, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. The question is today about the U.S. Department of Education. Should it be closed? Should it be dismantled? Should it be continuing? Should it continue as it is today? Do we need a U.S. Department of Education? Does it help academics? Has it increased the academic level of students across America since 1973? Or have we seen the academics plummet? What are your thoughts? How do you stand? Should we have the Department of Education, which is unconstitutional? A waste of taxpayer dollars, in my most humble opinion? Or should we revert it back to the states and the counties so that we, the people, moms and dads on a local level, can decide what our kids are taught, who teaches them, and whether it meets the standard of the morals and ethics and values that we have as individual homes? Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we look at issues, we do so based on the scripture. And John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The scripture says, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2, the Bible reminds us that the truth of the Lord endures forever. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a state in society today. We're in a position where the overwhelming majority of those in the political arena, overwhelming majority of those in the woke culture that we're in today, believe that we can ignore truth. And those that stand for truth then are demeaned, denied, beguiled, and in some fashion, undermined. It goes back to George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. George Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand truth matters, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, regardless of whether it's the left coast or the right coast, truth still matters. And we're witnessing today a decimation of truth, a desecration of truth, a destruction of truth. Those with the socialist, Marxist, communist network news, and those with the communist, Marxist, Democratic Party, they find no problem with destroying truth. If you don't believe that, just go back and watch President Trump's speech before the House and the Senate just a few days ago. And those on the right, facing the speaker, the Democrats, no smile, no clapping, no applause, no appreciation expressed in relationship to those special guests that Trump pointed out that were seated up in the gallery. There's a mindset somehow, some way, that we can bifurcate truth and it's still truth. It is not so. You've heard me say before, and I'll say again, a half truth is a whole lie. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said the America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is correct. Headline of that article says, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. We find that to be promulgating and, if you please, spreading across our nation more in the last few years than in the history of America. Could it be because we have an entire generation that does not recognize truth? For example, I'm looking at a headline. Most younger Americans say there is no such thing as absolute truth. No such thing as absolute truth. The article starts out on this basis. Webster's Dictionary says truth is the body of real things, real evidence, real facts, actualities, and the state of being, in fact, the case. But yet 55% of the millennials say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. We need to grasp that and understand it. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day. Search for the truth, seek for it, seek it, learn it, love it, live it, tell it, and be willing to stand and defend it. People don't want to hear the truth today. And so when you're a truth teller, you stand and tell the truth, you're going to find those that will challenge it, deny it, try to bifurcate it, and try to destroy the truth teller, the messenger, and cannot handle the message. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff. They can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find the flag in the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us in Psalms 127, verse 3, that children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. God places a high value on the children. And yet somehow, some way, we have declined to the position that with many parents, it's just a matter of seeing the yellow school bus come by of a morning, stacking the kids on the school bus and being free all day, and the school bus deliver them back in the afternoon. Parents never know what they've been taught. Parents never examine the textbooks. The parents never wonder why little Johnny is not screaming back at mom and dad. Parents can never understand and always wonder why. Why does little Johnny not want to read his Bible anymore? Why does little Johnny question the parents' authority? Why does little Johnny not want to pledge to the flag? Why does little Johnny simply have a disregard for America? Why is little Johnny embracing some of the cultural wokeisms that's in the society today? You ever wondered why? Have you ever questioned your son or daughter as to what they've been taught that day, what the teacher says, and some of the biases that the faculty and the staff and the schools have, and they're trying to undermine mom and dad's teaching at home? Ladies and gentlemen, there's a need today to ask the question, what about the billions and billions and billions of dollars of taxpayer money going into the U.S. Department of Education and the educational unions? By the way, perhaps you're thinking automatically, well, you know, in our classrooms, the teachers are paying out of their pockets for erasers and for color crayons and for other things that the kids need. Have you ever wondered why that's taking place? Have you ever wondered why we put so much money into the U.S. Department of Education and so little coming out of the faucet in the classroom? Have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered who's in control of those dollars once it hits the U.S. Department of Education? Have you ever wondered about the National Educational Association, the National Teachers Association, and the unions that control the U.S. Department of Education, of what they get and what they're paid? Have you ever wondered, ladies and gentlemen, what the National Educational Association, the National Teachers Association annual meetings are about, what they're teaching and what they're saying and what their focus would be? Oh, yes. I know that you're saying, surely their annual meeting is talking about how we can refine the teaching process. Surely their annual meeting is talking about how we can get little Johnny to be able to read and little Susie how to write and the classroom how to spell and to understand a little bit about math and science. That's not the focus, ladies and gentlemen. When it comes to the National Teachers Association and the National Educational Association and those unions that control it, those meetings have nothing to do with academics or education. Nothing. Nothing. Just recently I looked at what they call 26 different planks, or 26 different layers that they discussed in one of the NEA meetings. And out of the 26, there was nothing about education academics. There was a whole lot in there about how a teacher could teach LGBTQ sodomite agenda. There was a whole lot in there about how the teachers could promulgate and push lesbianism and transgenderism, et cetera, but nothing in their planks of academic process that you and I would think that an academic meeting would be about. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to see President Trump giving directions to the head now of the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Education to dismantle it. I'm thankful to see DOGE going in through the leadership of President Trump giving direction to Elon Musk in relationship to searching out and finding waste, fraud, and abuse in every federal agency. I'm looking at an article. The title of the article says, Elon Musk team, that's M-U-S-K, apostrophe S, Musk team, decimates educational department arm that tracks national school performance. This article reads, the Trump administration just canceled a $900 million contract overseen by the Institute for Educational Services. The $900 million contract the department is canceling includes multi-year agreements. Further in the article, 90 contracts had been identified as waste, fraud, and abuse. The cancellation of them in line with the department's goal of making sure it is focused on meaningful learning and to make sure taxpayers' funds are used appropriately. Further, the article states, today, the Department of Education terminated 89 contracts worth $881 million. One contractor was paid $1.5 million to simply observe mailing and clerical operations at a mail center, end quote. Further, the article reads, the Trump administration has reportedly continually expressed a desire to return return the responsibility to the schools, for the schools, to the states and the local governments, although state and local governments already control a larger share of the funding for education, so this writer says. There's no national curriculum, this writer states. That's absolutely untrue. Ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. Department of Education, they determine what publishing houses and what titled textbooks can be used. That list of, quote, recommended textbooks, that term recommended is used very lightly. If that list of recommended textbooks is handed down then to the State Departments of Education, if the State Departments of Education do not select textbooks from that list, they cannot get the federal funds. So you can't call it recommended. It is absolutely mandated, but they call it recommended list. And that list of textbooks goes to the State Department of Education. Each State Department of Education selects from the federal recommended list the textbooks, and that State Department of Education then makes those recommendations to the counties. And it's then from the counties up that if the county does not select the books the state says, the state cannot release the funds to the county. If the state does not use the textbook list that the feds say, the feds will not release the money to the states. You see what I'm saying? The quality of the textbook is totally predicated, and the use thereof, totally predicated on the states and the enforcing it upon the counties, and the counties are then saying yes to the masters in D.C. over the U.S. Department of Education. Another headline. What cuts have been made at the Department of Education? Nearly $1 billion has been slashed. Almost $1 billion has been cut in the U.S. Department of Education. The fatal Department of Institute of Educational Sciences, which tracks the progress of nation's students, remain unclear after the scores of contracts were terminated by Elon Musk on Monday. President Trump, this article reads, has pledged to shut down the U.S. Department of Education, saying the agency's power should be transferred to the states and the schools. The states and the counties is what he's saying. What are your thoughts? Do you think we should shut down the U.S. Department of Education? Let me give you a little tidbit. The U.S. Department of Education set up, I believe, in 1973 under the leadership of Jimmy Carter, which until Joe Biden was the most failed president in American history. Set the U.S. Department of Education into place, and our scores academically on reading and writing and math and sciences plummeted. Out of about 39 of 40 national statistical data, U.S. Department of Education is almost the very last one on the totem pole with academic quality. Why is that so? The question that needs to be asked is, before the U.S. Department of Education, did we graduate scholars from high school and from colleges? Before the 1973 U.S. Department of Education, did we only have academic dummies that had gone through the school system? Did we have those that could not read and write going to being graduated from the schools with high praise and yet could not read and write? And yet we're finding that today. I'll discuss some of those issues later in the broadcast. But let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. What say you? Should we eliminate the U.S. Department of Education? My position is, ladies and gentlemen, it has always been, if the U.S. Department of Education is not constitutional, how is it that we say that it must continue and cannot be dismantled? Now, I realize that President Trump, even though he is president, has a limited authority for what he can do. He's already given the lady McMahon, I believe, don't recall the first name, that's now the Secretary of Education. He's already given her clear instructions to start shutting down, begin the dismantling process of the U.S. Department of Education. Perhaps you've watched on the Marxist media, they've had some bleeding heart liberals, teachers, and some parents that have been coerced into weeping on camera and saying, it's going to destroy my child's life. My child won't be able to get a job. My child won't be able to go to college, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And teachers saying, it's going to put a lot of people out of business, a lot of work if they do that. It's Linda McMahon, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that we need to say yes and be encouraging for that. I'm looking at a headline, Department of Education spending. Listen to this. Department of Education spending skyrocketed 749% in 4 years. That's not 74.9%. It's not 7.49%. It is 749% increase over a four-year period of time. Now, before I read part of the article, you would think with that kind of increase on spending for the U.S. Department of Education that we would have a skyrocketing of academic prowess and ability in our classrooms. No, we don't. Listen to these statistics. 749% increase in 4 years. The Department of Education employee headcount fell. Listen. Read it again. The Department of Education, U.S. Department of Education employee headcount fell 13.9% between 2000 and 2024. But its spending increased 749% during that same period of time, according to the new report from the openbook.com. Meanwhile, reading and math students' proficiency on standardized tests has fallen dramatically. Now, let me just clarify some things in that statement, that reading. The increase in spending, U.S. Department of Education, goes up 749%, while the basic number of employees, the headcount of employees, fell 13.9% during a four-year period of time. How is that possible and why? Let me just read further. Spending has not decreased back to the 2019 level, which was only $104.37 billion. Before the pandemic, the department also added 566 staff positions between 2019 and 2024. Last year, only 60% of the fourth graders and 67% of the eighth graders scored at least the basic number or the basic score in reading skills on the National Assessment of Education Progress Standardized Test, according to the Associated Press. In math, 77% of the fourth graders and 61% of the eighth graders scored below the basic minimal level on the standardized test. 77% of fourth graders, 61% of the eighth graders fell below the basic academic standard for these areas. Ladies and gentlemen, despite the increase in spending, despite the increase by the mega millions, we find the academics in America has plummeted. And yet we have a hair pulling, crying the blues by the socialist Marxist media and the Communist Democratic Party that's saying that it's going to destroy America and destroy our kids. Well, number one, the Democrats are against the saving of dollars. The mindset is to spend as much as possible. Destroy the wealth of America. Destroy the economy in America. I'm looking at a headline to illustrate that, dealing with education. Thanks, Joe, this writer reads. $95 million worth of school buses paid for and never delivered. The Biden administration gave Canadian electric bus maker, the Lion Electric Company, $160 million in subsidies to manufacture 435 buses for schools in America. The company is nearing bankruptcy, laid off half of its employees. But 95 million of the buses have still not been provided, according to the Washington Free Beacon. Some $65 million worth of buses that were delivered are not without problems. They're not usable. Could not get parts for them. They could not run. Further, the article reads, Lion Electric received the third most money of all manufacturers subsidized by President Biden's $5 billion Clean School Bus Program. Yet there are still 55 school districts in America waiting for these buses. Meanwhile, Lion Electric stock, that's a company out of Canada now, Lion Electric stock has fallen to only 8 cents per share compared to the $33.48 in January 2021. The company has also allegedly faced issues with properly disclosing their financing. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, you take billions of dollars and spread it around, doing what Joe Biden did best, was wasting taxpayer dollars. And when you do that, you say, we're going to make all school buses electric. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the few school districts that got the electric buses found that in cold weather they wouldn't run, in extreme warm weather they would not run, and then when they did have a breakdown, they could not find replacement parts, so those buses are not usable. So the question that we're talking about today is the unconstitutional Department of Education. Should it be shut down? U.S. Department of Education is, can we say the U.S. Department of Education, if it is shut down, that we lose academics, we lose the training, our sons and daughters and grandkids will grow up to be dummies, they will not be able to progress academically. If we shut down the U.S. Department of Education, our kids that will get out of high school will not be able to get a job, will not be able to go to college, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What do we say about that? How do we respond to it? Look at another headline. Elon Musk given warning over Doge cuts to education. Doge is slashing federal spending across the board, and the Department of Education took a hefty chop in the most recent days. February the 11th, Doge announced that it terminated 89 contracts, ladies and gentlemen, in the Department of Education, almost $1 billion. And ladies and gentlemen, the question is, that we need to ask ourselves and decide, do we want the education to be remanded back to the states remand the education back to the counties, and the counties with moms and dads and grandparents have control over the textbooks that are used, the content of those books that are used, and the subjects that are taught, that will stop the LGBTQI+, will stop the woke mindset that's taught in the classroom, will stop the DEI in the classrooms, and we will have control over what our kids are taught. Is that what we want, or do we want to leave it with the U.S. Department of Education, where the socialist, Marxist, communists teach our kids in the classrooms? Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University.